made for us. We pray that we would be able to honor it every day with our lives, Lord. Thank you for the many words you've given us to study and to ponder on and to learn from, that we might continue to grow and be strengthened and turned into your likeness every day. In your holy name, amen. Today, I will be reading and preaching from Colossians 2, 6 to 10. I will be reading initially from 6 to 23. So if you'd like to turn there and follow with me. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body. They are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. I'll be focusing on verses 6 to 10, and I guess I'll give a quick overview and a brief intro and to where we're at. So the focus today will be, where does our growth come from? And what are we feeding our growth and our establishment with? And the answer is ultimately pretty simple. It's only Christ that we can feed with and grow with if we expect to become more like him. The ways of this world will not satisfy our desires. It will not change our heart to be more like Christ. If anything, it'll change us away from being like Christ. So as we go into here, I'll give an introduction to Colossians, at least the letter, and a little bit of the church that we know. So this church was not founded by Paul, like many of the letters that he wrote. It was founded by, I believe it's Epaphras. And Paul's in prison, and he writes this church with the goal of warning and encouraging them, as we see in chapter 1. The church seems like it's doing fairly well by a lot of regards. I mean, we don't have full details of every single member of that church, but Paul writes, he's heard of the faith they have in God, the love they have for each other, and the hope they have in heaven. If that is a church that is known by that is, as it seems, a really good place to be and a good place to start. If that is how you are known, by Paul no less, that is seemingly a strong basis to have, maybe even a relatively healthy church, you could presume, not without its faults, I'm sure. And this letter that Paul writes is to encourage and to partially warn them about why it has to be Christ alone that we are built on. As we go into verse 6 of chapter 2, we'll read, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." It is clear that as a Christian, and our title is Christian, it is Christ that is our emphasis. And we see that as we walk in our day-to-day, we are to walk in the Lord, in Christ, in all of our ways. And there's a number of good reasons why Paul was writing this to the Colossians. As we read later on, we see that there are influences that are trying to make them go one way or another, as it was pretty common, seemingly, with a lot of the churches that Paul wrote to, the church in Galatians, with circumcision trying to make its way back in through legalism. And yeah, like we said today with Colossians, with all the false other gospels or false religions that was being pushed in the church or being brought in, we have to walk in Christ and Christ alone. It is not through any means of this world that we can be made righteous before him. So as we walk in stride with Christ, we'll see in verse 7, we are to be built up in him. I'm sure we're all familiar with the passage, as Paul writes, I believe it's to the Corinthians, you're drinking milk, but this time you should be eating solid food, a reference to growth, that you may be able to stand and preach what you believe faithfully without the fear of being turned away by false lies and by those who seem to influence and manipulate us. And Paul, again, is establishing this to this church, that we should be rooted and built up in him, that is Christ, and established in the faith as they were taught. Paul uses the analogy of a root, which can be a tree or a plant. I'm not much of a herbologist or anything like that. But I do know that small trees are a lot easier to pluck out than big trees. Many a times I've seen chains break when they try to pull a stump and it's not going anywhere because it was a big old stump. And it's important that we establish our roots in good soil. When I was preparing for this sermon, I was reminded of when I was younger, I really wanted to have an apple tree. I thought it would be very cool if I could just walk outside and grab a fresh, crisp apple off a tree in my own backyard. And I remember I inquired to my dad, how long would it take before that tree would bear fruit? And I don't remember the number. It was a very long time. And I remember thinking, well, that's not worth it. I'll just stick to Saskatoons or something from the bush. But it's important that the tree takes a long time to grow. Because if that tree had sprouted an apple in its first year, I'm sure I would have gone to pick it, and the roots would have come up with it, and I would have been down to one apple from that tree. I'm not saying that so as to say that our fruit, is written in John, that we must multiply in fruit. I'm not referencing to that, but it's rather that in our growth, our roots need to be in good soil and they need to be growing. Because when it comes to time for someone to pick an apple, it would probably be best if you can withstand a couple picks or more, so as to stick with that analogy. As we continue in verse 7, again, it's a very common theme that we see in Paul's letters. Outsiders who are not of Christ wanting to come in, whether they were the religions of the area, the religions of the prior area with Judaism, and all of the influences that they would have had from the outside world, from outside of the church, that would have been trying to bring them back to the work of legalism, bring them back to salvation by works, as we see very often in the world today. It can be very easy for us to think that as we go through our life, we have to be on the right side of history, or we have to be on the right group or the right party for us to be most righteous or most Christian or even satisfy our own mind. And today, now more than ever, it seems that we can so easily be brought to extremes with the one side, whether it's politics or ideology or belief, because if they're wrong, then we have to be absolutely right, and it creates the divide, and it takes us from what should be love for others and turns it into love for ourselves and for our own intellect. As we continue into verse 8, we start to see that the importance of a good gardener is absolutely huge. Again, like if I was to reference the tree that I would have liked to grow, it would not have lasted long. I'm not particularly good at plants or eating plants even, but I do know that they are important and that we ought to have them. But the importance of a plant having a good gardener and a good soil and a good amount of sunlight and whatever else they really need, it ensures the plant will grow. It'll prevent it from ceasing in growth and eventually wilting up and dying. I remember before I was married, my roommate had a plant, and every so often it was, oh, it's almost dead, and he'd water it, come right back. But eventually, I'm sure he did not get to it. I haven't seen it since. But yeah, we move into verse 8, and we see ultimately that, yeah, the command or the advice is simple. Paul's writing, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Again, we know, and hopefully we're able to stick to it, that it is Christ alone that we are to stick to. Now, that isn't to say that we are to discard the teachings and the words that we receive from our pastor, like Brian or Joe, but that if they are not rooted in their teachings of Christ, then we are not to hold on to it. We see later on in this chapter, Paul writes, as we read, where is it here? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to precepts, human precepts and teaching. They indeed have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Ultimately, our goal as Christians is, of course, to become more like Christ, and when we die, to be reunited with Christ. And it is so easy, I find, especially for myself, that I get caught in the trap of, if I can follow what this pastor is saying, or if I can follow what this guy is saying, if I can be more like this, if I can be more active in this community, or if I can just change who I am from the inside out, if I can, oh, I want to be more like this, and I'll start taking the work, I'll start reading these books to figure out how to deal with however nook and cranny I'd want to be rid of. If it's not of Christ, it's not benefiting me. And I found that so long in my life, there's many aspects that I wish I could change, and that I could be in control of, or I could be more smart in, or more knowledgeable in, or more conversational in. But at the end of the day, all I was trying to do was clean the outside while still having the inside completely filthy, because I was not focusing on Christ filling that desire. And it seems so often that temptation now is more available and more easily accessible through the internet and all the politicizing memes and things that we see online. And it is something to be worryful of, letting what into your heart, whether it be conservative ideologies, liberal ideologies, politics, however it be. It is important to realize that that is not what we are called to study. Not that we are to be blind in them, not that we are to be useless in how we pursue and vote with our Christian heart, hopefully, but rather that in our desire, it is not my desire to be a conservative Christian. It will not be my desire to be a liberal Christian. It will not be my desire to be a smart Christian, but rather a Christian, and in the exercising of being a Christian with Christ, rooted and established, I will be able to make those decisions and those calls as I know right from the truth. Give me 1 second. And it's easy to forget, not necessarily easy, but we can forget, I find, especially for myself, why that it is Christ alone. Hopefully none of us are ignorant of the fact that we celebrate Easter, and this is kind of the time of Lent, I believe. And there's a reason why we celebrate Easter, and there's a reason why we celebrate Christmas, and it is because Christ himself, as God, as we took communion today, died for us that we may be able to partake of that, of his righteous flesh and of his righteous blood, we might be covered in it. And if we are wanting to be found righteous and covered by Christ, then in our lives, all we are to take part of is that. So we go into verse 9, and we'll see why. For in him, that being Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. We see this obviously echoed all throughout the New Testament with Christ, of course, being the penultimate perfect being in his righteousness and his judgment and his healing. He was God. Paul writes in Philippians 2, let's see if I can pass there. Have this mindset among yourselves, which is Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So all throughout, we know that God was and ultimately is the perfect and righteous God that he was as he came to earth and died for us. And that if we are to desire to be like him, then again, all our roots can only be grown into him. We know that trees that do not bear good fruit will be pruned. And again, it is only the growth that comes from Christ, which he has promised to us, that if we are faithful in loving one another and loving him, that there will be fruit and that it will grow. I'll take us into verse 10. And we know that there are many challenges, and of course that the Colossians church was facing, both in outside influences and I'm sure internal struggles like many of the other churches that we read about. But we'll read, "And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority." We have the means that we need to be rooted in Christ. We have what we need to grow in him. And we do not need to look at the world for it. We do not need to look at our cell phones for it. We do not need to look at even necessarily each other for it. Not that that is necessarily always wrong, but that we are to look at Christ alone for that. Again, it can often feel like if we can only make ourselves holy, then one day it will be a life that we can be happy with or we can be satisfied with. But it is not our blood that will save us, nor is it the blood of anybody else on this earth, but rather the holy, spilled blood of Christ that will cover us and bring us into righteousness with him. I'll bring a few things that I believe are quick and simple for holding on to Christ and how that might be more applicable than just words that go through your ears. We know we have the ultimate word of God, that being the Bible. And again, in keeping with the analogy of a tree and soil, the growth that we desire to come from for knowledge or for wisdom or for stance or for the ability to stand strong comes from the word. I know there's a term, apologetics, which is used to defend your faith. And it's really hard to do that, I've learned, if you're not in the word. If you don't know what the word of God says, how are you expected to defend it and to be one who can talk to others about it? So being in the word is, again, these may be obvious for a lot of us, but hopefully it'll be a strong reminder. So to be in the word and to pray and to have a frequency in prayer, these are all things that we know Jesus was active in his time on earth, both as he was able to refute the Pharisees with their own passages in their own scripture, as he was also able to pray and to fast ultimately. So I just encourage you that in your going through the days and going through time in the future, if you ever find yourself, like I have definitely found myself, becoming more political than I am Christian, or becoming more ideological than I am Christian, or more philosophical than I am Christian, that, I do not take my rooting in words of Dostoevsky. I do not take my rooting in words of the famous people like Jordan Peterson or like all the influencers, but rather I take my rooting and my growth in Christ alone. And I encourage you to do so, as hopefully we are. And we do not need to worry about pleasing the other influences. We do not need to worry about how we will look if we come off as not like the world. I mean, that is certainly a good thing, but it is easy to be worried about how we will appear as a Christian in a world that is often seemingly anti-Christian. But we know, as we read, where is it here? In verse 15, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. We do not need to worry about the outside world and how we are perceived or how we are fitting in per se, but rather that if we stick to Christ, who has overcome all of that, that we may be able to be faithful and truthful regardless of how it may seem we are fitting in this world today. For closing, I'll skip to the end of chapter 2 there and read verse 20 and 23 again. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, as if you were still in the world, do you submit to regulations of the flesh? Thank you.
I'll invite you to stand one more time. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. All my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Well, for our benediction today, just the opening words from Psalms. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But those who delight in the law of the Lord and who meditate on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Amen.